Off the ball rugby.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to work with Andy Farrell. I think it would be amazing. I like everything that he stands for. I like his drive. I'd like to see him up close.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Rugby Daily
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm Richie McCormack. On the way, reaction from an excellent day's work in Parma for the Ireland women's team. We hear from the Leinster camp as they turn their attentions from Durban to Croke Park. And could the World Cup be heading for the Middle East? Rugby Daily on Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First up today, though, the Irish Times have added two reports that Jack Crowley is to stay with Munster. Jerry Thornley says the out-half has turned down a deal from Leicester, said to be worth in the region of €750,000 a year. According to Jerry, Crowley will be earning half of that should he stay at Munster. Speaking after Saturday's win over Connacht at McHale Park, stand-in head coach Ian Costello praised the work done in Castlebar by Crowley and his halfback partner Craig Casey.
Yeah, it's just control and composure. I guess it's Jack, he was just so composed the whole way through it in terms of line breaks, his passing range, his kicking range, but he just brings confidence to everyone around him. And then Craig had that balance of energy and composure as well. And I think we've all seen enough games to know how important your game drivers are. I thought our game drivers were excellent today.
And Jerry Thornley will have further details of that Crowley story on tonight's Monday Night Rugby, which you can hear by tuning in on the radio or by becoming an Off the Ball member now. News of the Crowley decision, though, is a huge boon for Munster ahead of their last 16 trip to La Rochelle in the Investec Champions Cup on Saturday. They could be further boosted by the returns from injury of Peter O'Mahony, Jack O'Donoghue and Thakir Abrahams for that game. La Rochelle, meanwhile, are in rancid form ahead of Munster's visit with a 33-19 defeat away to Clermont, their eighth game without a win since early January. However, Munster could be without Alex Nankivell for that trip to France after his red card for a challenge on Cian Prendergast on Saturday. However, on this morning's Off the Ball breakfast, Alan Quinlan felt that red was harsh.
Obviously, let's hope Cian Prendergast is okay. I think it was a very unfortunate one.
Was it a red for you?
No, I don't think so. I think everything the referee said was inaccurate. He said he charged in from distance. There was no attempt to wrap. He had no control. People will disagree with me. I thought you're on the yellow. You're between yellow and red, and I thought it was a little bit harsh.
That's
red.
Where the bunker review is needed.
A lot of what the referee said was totally inaccurate.
All right.
He said he charged in from distance. He had no control of his body. He didn't dip. There was no attempt to wrap. All that stuff is inaccurate and not true. Alex Nankivell actually stays on. He says he goes off his feet. He actually stayed on his feet. I think it's fine that it's a red, but I think everything that he said was not right. I think it's a big call for him.
They appeal?
Nothing will change right there, Ger, because I think you're between that yellow and red threshold. I think it's very unfortunate. I think there was no intent there. And as I said, the most important thing was Cian Prendergast. It was very unfortunate that he's in that situation.
There's lots more from Alan Quinlan and Hannah O'Connor from this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast elsewhere in the OTB Rugby feed, and you can hear Off the Ball Breakfast every weekday morning from 7:30 by becoming an Off the Ball member now. Scott Beamond believes Ireland made a statement in collecting their first win of this year's Women's Six Nations. A hat-trick of tries from Anna McGann contributed to a 54-12 bonus point win over Italy in Parma. Head coach Beamond was delighted to have laid down a marker.
Look, 50 is just a number, isn't it? But it's great to get past 50. We scored that last try and then knew we had the kickoff. So the messages were going on, get to 50, make a statement, show what this new Ireland team is about, show what you want to become. And I love the fact that we hung in there, because we actually gave the ball back and then went and fetched it back with line speed pressure, forced a skill error and then managed to play off that. So it's getting to 50 was an important piece for us, because I think it's a bit of a statement.
Aoife Wafer was happy to come away from a place that hasn't always been a happy hunting ground for Ireland with maximum points.
Yeah, it's pretty brilliant, isn't it? Like, we spoke about during the week about making this kind of an Irish ground. Obviously, Parma, there's bad juju here, if you want to put it that way, for the Irish team. But yeah, we came out and we put that right and we were relentless today, which is what we spoke about as well this week.
Dana O'Brien converted 7 of those 8 tries scored yesterday by Ireland, much to the delight of her head coach.
She's a great kicker. We know that last week perhaps wasn't a day, and a few people, you know, made some observations around that. But we back her to the hilt. I think anything she missed today was perhaps on the slightly easier end of a spectrum. She was kicking everything from the touchline. So, look, a very, very dominant kicking performance, and hopefully that just continues to fill her confidence bank.
Things will be far trickier in 12 days' time when England visit Virgin Media Park. John Mitchell's side crossed the whitewash no fewer than 11 times in a 67-12 demolition of Wales in Cardiff on Saturday. Wafer knows things will be more difficult in Cork.
Look, England are a world-class side. They're, God, if my figure is right, they're probably 24 wins on the bounce now. Like, last game they lost was the World Cup final against New Zealand. But look, we just have to go and play them the following week. We'll do our own homework. We've a world-class coaching staff, and obviously Scott knows England quite well. So, we'll prep well, and, we'll come firing.
Take a detour from the ordinary.
Owen, it's finally here. Your 10-part documentary, Diverted.
Took a long time.
It's time to get diverted.
This has taken too long, but finally glad that it's here.
Join Owen Sheehan as he brings you the conversations you didn't know you needed to hear.
It's like the content version of your eyes being bigger than your belly, or whenever it comes to food.
From the unexpected to the unforgettable, Diverted explores it all.
For some reason, I've decided to hitchhike through Argentina.
Irlanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda. See.
Available for free on all Off the Ball channels. Divert it on Off the Ball.
After the heroics of a young Leinster side defeating a Springbok-laden Sharks on Saturday, Leinster's attentions firmly turned to the Investec Champions Cup and Harlequins at Croke Park. Ronan Kelleher will be assessed later in the week as he works his way back from a neck injury. Such was the view of the task at hand this week that a coaching group of Jacques Nienaber, Tyler Blaendahl and Robin McBride remained in Dublin while Leo Cullen led Leinster to victory in Durban. McBride explained the reason behind the split crews.
You keep a track of players' playing minutes and you take that into consideration. There's a lot of things to be taken into consideration, really. You know, the boys throughout the Six Nations, they've been chopping at the bit to have an opportunity to play as well. So there's a lot of it in the mix. With regards to how it played out, I mean, so chuffed to see, firstly against the Bulls, to push them so close. You know, it was a disappointing end to the game. There's a hell of a lot of good work gone into the previous 80 minutes. And then against the Sharks, to actually learn some of the lessons from the week previously, with a pretty young, inexperienced group, to go there and to beat the Sharks. You know, the amount of feel-good factor that's given to anybody who's connected to Leinster is fantastic. You know, to us here, I mean, we made reference to it today. They've probably started a little bit of that momentum building towards the end of the season. So it's great, and you know, they deserve that for the hard work they put in. It's great.
Meanwhile, Dan Sheehan says the prospect of playing at Croke Park can't be allowed to become a distraction for Leinster.
I think we probably, this time around, mainly just focused on our game and, you know, playing our match. So I don't think we've fed into the history as much and the sort of nostalgia of Croke Park this time. I think we're all pretty comfortable with it. Obviously, it's brilliant that we can get that many people to a game and to a Leinster game in the last 16. So I think we're going to be feeding off the sort of the numbers now and making sure we sort of bring our performance to the table and give our supporters a good day out. Our last two games there, or the two games we have had there in the last year, have been quite positive. Obviously, the semi-final last year was a bit of a nail biter towards the end, but I think we started that game really well, and I don't think it was a massive distraction for us. I think we used the sort of occasion to our advantage quite well, and you know, we talked about it, we made sure we sort of got over it. And then we just focus on performance. We sort of talked about it earlier in the week. So I think this time it's no different. Obviously, it's the first game that maybe a lot of us will be back on the pitch in a Leinster jersey off the back of the Six Nations. So there's a lot of things to be sort of put together to make sure we're back in our systems. But no, I don't think Croke Park will be a distraction for us. If anything, you know, we'll have hopefully 60,000 plus of our own supporters there. So I think that'll do it.
And McBride gave me his assessment of the threat posed by Quins this week, which comes despite their 47-28 mauling at the hands of Bath at the weekend in the Premiership.
Well, they're a dangerous team. you know, I know that they lost on the weekend, but the weekend prior to that, they had a great win against Saracens. First time they beat them in 13 years, I think. So they created a little bit of their own momentum going into Bath. And you look at that game, listen, they fell behind. They had a couple of yellow cards. They had a nasty injury. But they came back into it again. And it's almost as if when they fall behind, that sense of having nothing to lose becomes even more present in their minds. And they've got the types of players, dangerous attacking players, that can really hurt you. So, do you know what I mean? Whether they're coming here, coming to Croke Park, with the same feeling of, listen, we've got nothing to lose, that'll make them a very dangerous team. And, you know, we've got to be ready for that. You know, they're littered with quality players, quality international players. So it's going to be a mighty test for us on Saturday.
Leinster versus Harlequins in the last 16 of the Investec Champions Cup will be live on this Saturday's Off the Ball with Andy Dunn joining Cúin O'Flaherty on commentary. The Rugby World Cup could be the latest major sporting event to be won over by the bright lights and deep pockets of the Middle East. According to the Times, Asia Rugby wants to see World Rugby greenlight a multi-country bid for the World Cup. Asia Rugby President Qais Al Dalai claims a World Cup split between Saudi Arabia, Qatar and the UAE would be, quote, the most successful event in the history of rugby. Neither of the three would be considered rugby strongholds, with Saudi Arabia not even featuring among World Rugby's 113 ranked sides. UAE are 48th in the latest men's world rankings, with Qatar 87th. Australia hosts the next World Cup in 2027, with the United States up next then in 2031. The bidding process for the 2035 edition will open up in the next couple of years, with Italy and Spain both believed to be keen on taking the tournament back to Europe. Qais Al Dalai has since retweeted that Times report today, adding, nothing is impossible. Rugby Australia have won another tug of war with their 13-man counterparts for another sought-after piece of talent. After Joseph Suaalii made an impressive switch from league to union, he's set to be joined in the Wallabies camp by Dale Cherry-Evans. According to The Roar, Manly Sea Eagles captain Cherry Evans has agreed a 5-year deal with the Queensland Reds and Rugby Australia worth $1.4 million Australian dollars a year. That translates to around €800,000 a season. Cherry Evans will add to the Wallaby scrum half options for the 2027 World Cup, and he could make his debut in the Golden Green in September's Bledisloe Cup tests with the All Blacks before he even picks up a ball in anger for the Reds. And finally, one Southern Hemisphere star going nowhere is Damien McKenzie. The All Blacks head half has signed a new 4-year deal with New Zealand Rugby that will also see him remain with the Chiefs until at least 2029. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. I'm Richie McCormack, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you, thanks to Bank of Ireland, tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.